Welcome back to the Power Hour. We're continuing our discussion with William Bill Snoblin. Bill Snoblin with oneaccord.org is his website, is his ministry for, 27 years he's been doing this. I thought it was interesting in the last part of the discussion, he was talking about the immigration in the late 1800s and how different customs. Look, in America, Halloween was outlawed by the Puritans and what happened. It was outlawed. Like, it wasn't just, well, we don't do it. No. It was outlawed. Why? Because they understood the connection to the old world and what was going on. And then when immigrants came. And I thought that was very, I never thought about it that way. But I know in this discussion of immigration now we're getting off the subject a little bit, but I just wanted to comment on this. This is very important. We keep hearing politically about immigration, about letting people in. When you let people in, it changes your culture. When you get people from different culture and bring them into your culture, good, bad, or indifferent, it changes. And not only in the late 1800s did all the Italian immigrants, European immigrants, whatever, bring Catholicism, different Halloween, whatever. They also started to change the Constitution at that point because they had diluted it. I mean, this is a fact when you go back and look at it. And I just thought that was very interesting. Of what you said, so I just had to comment on that, William.
Yeah,
and just bring that up.
Sure. And of course,
anyway,
the flip side of that, if I could just add to it, is the fact that the church's power is diminishing. Even though obviously Christians are a majority, the Christian churches aren't nearly as effective as they used to be for reasons that are probably beyond the scope of this show. And on the other hand, you have this increasing population of Muslims and other, you know, but they're the most notable ones, and other spiritual groups that, yes, they're a lot of them are good people and all that, but they bring with them a certain spiritual energy that is totally incompatible with the Bible, whether they're Hindus or Sikhs or Muslims or, you know, whatever. And it is making a difference in the spiritual temperature of America. It really is, because the more of that you have, it's not just about politics. It's also about, you know, because everybody that's not saved has an unclean spirit. The Bible tells us that. And so all these people have unclean spirits. Even maybe they're nice people and all that, but, you know, that doesn't mean that they aren't bringing in these things, and it makes for a very different climate.
Well, even to put it to a, yes, even to put it on a secular basis, let's just bring it down to secular basis. The Muslim religion, their core beliefs, and look, I tip my hat to them for their conviction. I really wish that we had half the conviction that some of these Muslim groups do.
Yeah.
But their ideas, they are incompatible with the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. So putting it down to a secular level, they are incompatible with our core values of this country. Not even religious values, just our legal values. It's self-evident, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, getting back to Bill. Okay, how did you go from being you were on the path to being a priest to being a Druid priest, Satanist, Lucifer, whatever, and explain the differences. How did you go from point A to point B?
Well, briefly, because I know you want to get into other things, I would just say that when I was in minor seminary in college, a priest told me that, you know, just out of the blue after class, I don't know whether something within him, an evil spirit, told him that I was ripe for the plucking. But he told me that, well, did you know that Jesus was a witch? And that his 12 apostles were his coven. And that all of their wives were that made a grand coven of 20, you know, 26 people and blah, blah, blah. And I mean, I didn't know. I mean, I was like 19 or 18, you know, freshman in college. And back in those days, if a priest said something, it was like the voice of God, you know. And he said, if I wanted to be like Christ and do the miracles that Christ did, I needed to study the occult. And so that's what started it. It was a Catholic priest. He had a PhD,
wow,
a theological doctorate from he was a licentiate from the Vatican. I mean, this guy was not just some guy who fell off the turnip truck. I mean, he had advanced degrees in theology, but the guy obviously.
Okay,
okay,
pause right there.
Yeah.
This conversation is going to about to go in a different direction. Okay, hold on. You got me. Every time I talk to you, my brain goes a million miles an hour. He's somebody directly from the Vatican or had some connection to the Vatican? Explain that.
Yeah, I mean, he was an American priest, but he had, you know, gone over to their study. Yes.
Okay, from your experience, what you found out, did this occultism run all the way to the Vatican throughout the tops of the Catholic Church?
Oh, yes, yes. And I'll say this, you know, that's why I went back, and this is not a part of my story I frequently share, but I, at a certain point in my life, I was told that if I really wanted to get occult power, I should go back, because I left the seminary to become a witch, okay? I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but they told me, well, go back, get ordained as a Catholic priest, because it will give you greater Luciferian power. The witches were telling me this. They said,
stop. Why?
Okay, see, the Catholic priesthood, you know, everything is like in the occult, it's like yin and yang, you know, all of that.
Right.
And so they said that the witchcraft, Wicca, whatever, was like the yin, so to speak, and Catholicism was the yang. That's why witches use silver chalices and silver daggers, and if you look at most witch altars, they're all, you know, candles and sticks and whatnot, they're all silver. Whereas in the Catholic Church, they use gold chalices, gold patens, everything is gold, gold, gold. So the witches are like lunar, and the Catholics are like solar. And, of course, you need both the sun and the moon, you know. And there was this whole, I don't want to go into great depth with it, but there was this idea that one fed off the other, just like you need both, you know, a man and a woman to make a baby.
So for your spiritual development to be the complete kind of, you need to know both sides of this. It's like the duality of man. You need both sides of this. This is straight Luciferianism now that we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. You know,
straight Luciferianism.
See, the difference between Luciferians and Satanists are different, which may sound funny.
Explain
the
that.
Luciferians are more into like light and appearing to be, you know, like white, you know, light workers, stuff like that. Like people used to joke about how Obama was a light worker, you know, stuff like that. That's because, of course, the word Lucifer in Latin means light bringer. And on the other hand, Satanists are more dark and more overtly evil. You know, and they just say, hey, we're just evil, you know, and that's that. You know, we don't, you know, care. So there is a difference there within the larger occult realm. But, of course, they're all really worshiping the devil. They just don't understand it. Just like witches are worshiping the devil, but they don't know it. They're innocent. For the most part, white witches are nice people, but they're deceived, you know.
Okay,
that clear, yeah.
I'm so sorry we're bouncing around. It's my fault. So I apologize. Back to Catholicism and, go ahead.
Well, so anyway, I mean, you've got to realize that for centuries, the Catholic Church has been involved in Satanism and pedophilia. I mean, it's basically the world's largest criminal organization. You know, I mean, they make the mafia look like pikers. And what's sad is there's like a billion people. Of course, they're leaving by droves because it seems like every other week there's a story about a new priest or bishop or somebody being busted for being a child molester. But, you know, I mean, still, it's a tragedy because all these people, I mean, if you get up to the highest levels of the Catholic Church, the cardinals or the popes, these guys are totally sold out to the evil one. Totally.
Okay, would it be, okay, let me pause you right there. And so would it be out of order to say that the tops of the Catholic Church are complete, by day they are, you know, religious people, and by night they are just total evil devil worshippers? Would that be
a stretch? They maintain a front. I mean, you've got to realize This is true of most of these cult groups, like the Mormons and the Freemasons and the Catholics and even the Jehovah's Witnesses as well, that their leadership, I mean, the rank-and-file people are good people for the most part, but they're being victimized. But, yeah, the high leadership, the Pope or the Mormon prophet or whatever, they are totally sold out to the demonic. But they are putting on a front because, of course, if they, you know, like Paul tells us, Satan, you know, deceives by becoming an angel of light. They are like angels of light, and they're pretending to be good because otherwise, you know, their people would just flee from the churches in you know, like thousands by thousands.
Right, they would never go. Right, they got to suck
right.
you in somehow. All right, let me ask you. Hold on, let me pause you, because that's a very provocative, inflammatory statement you said. So do you know this by firsthand experience, you know, the heads of these churches, or were you told this? How do
well,
you come about that?
Well, let me just
that?
Say this. We have, you know, numerous people. I mean, you know, because we're kind of doing less of it because of demands and age and so on. But, you know, we prayed for thousands and thousands of people to be set free from demons. And so many of them testify. I mean, not just one or two, but so many of them, both men and women, testify of being, you know, taken to the Vatican, of being taken into underground, you know, chambers underneath the Vatican, and, you know, sexually molested by priests and bishops, you know.
Yeah, don't get too graphic there.
No,
yeah.
No. Well, but, and even sacrifices taking place. And, you know, when you have that many people, and we're not the only ones. I mean, there are literally, you know, dozens of these kind of ministries similar to ours that minister to these people that report the same thing. Now, no, I've never been to the Vatican. I've never, you know, met the Pope or anything like that. But the, you know,
well, let me ask it this way.
Sure.
Let me ask it this way. When you were in the occult, when you were rising in the, you know, the yin and yang of this or whatever you want to call it, was it understood that there was a satanic legion rising in power in the world and that they were executing a worldwide satanic plan, that this was going on throughout the world and the power structures of the world? Was that kind of understood?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was their goal. Just like, you know, within the Christian movement, there are people like these Dominion theologians and a few other, you know, some charismatics believe that they're gradually mounting a plan to win the entire world geopolitically for Christ, which is okay. But in the same way, these people are trying to, quote-unquote, win the world for Satan. But they know they have to do it underneath the surface. And so there's this web of darkness that is operating underneath the surface, and all these different groups are connected. And, you know,
pause right there. When you say groups connected, you mean politically, corporate-wise, religious? What do you mean, groups?
Both. I mean, really, in some cases, all of the above. But, you know, like, for example, there is recently, we did a newsletter about this a few months ago, there has been recently been a stated public alliance between the Mormon Church and the Catholic Church.
Yes.
Even though they used to be, you know, kind of
mortal
religious
enemies.
Adversaries.
Yeah, enemies. Almost.
And that's because both the Mormons and the Catholics are involved in child traffic and pedophilia.
Oh my God!
You know, it's not. You know, it's not.
And
like,
you know, well,
you know,
stop. Pause. And I hate to pause you like this, but it's so important. Every little thing that you're saying. Let's go back to that. And you know this from the people that you're working with, because Russ Dizdar told me the same thing. And all fair has told me other things.
And I mean, yeah, there's stuff that you can't really say on the air, but
right.
Most of it horrible. And, you know, but yeah, definitely. And I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, you know, people as long ago as, you know, Dr. Rebecca Brown, you know, way back in the 80s, I mean, she was talking about how the woman she was ministering to, I assume you know who that is, that she had been taken to the Vatican and, you know, molested by, you know, high-level people, including the Pope at that time. And, you know, it's been, yeah, this is not, I mean, it's just that the media won't really talk about it. I mean, they will talk about priests, pedophile priests, sure.
Well, they've been forced to. They wouldn't talk about it for 20 years, it seems like.
They
I mean,
want to
now
talk about it for 100 years, because this has been going on for decades. I mean, you know, I had a priest try to get at me when I was a freshman in college. Now, that's obviously over the age of consent, but this guy tried to seduce me, you know, and it freaked me out because I didn't even know what homosexuals were because, you know, I was in a small town in the middle of the Midwest and such things weren't really talked about back then. But anyway, so yeah, it's a big deal and it's been going on a long time and there's been an agreement, a clandestine agreement between these various groups that we aren't going to talk about this. And that's why, for example, this is illustrative of the power of these groups that to this day, very little is ever said about Masonic ritual abuse, which is every bit as bad as the Catholics are doing or the Mormons are doing. But the difference is that the Masons have gotten into positions of great power. Of course, part of it is that they're a much smaller group numerically than either the Mormons or the Catholics. There's only a few million Masons in America. So, you know.
All right, let's get off the minutiae or try to, and let's talk about on a little bit bigger scale. Okay, let's talk about Halloween in general. When you were Lucifer, what would you have called yourself? A Luciferian, a druid?
I was a druid. I was made a druid high priest in 1973. And I was also involved in Wicca, and I became a Wiccan high priest. And that was the start of it. And, of course, those are more benign, for lack of a better word, you know, groups because there's, you know, they don't believe in the true God of Isaac and Jacob.
So what was that like?
Those things.
You're part of this.
Halloween, okay, for them.
Stop. Pause. Let me pause again. I apologize. My brain just goes everywhere on this. I apologize. But going back to that, so you're part of this clique in this group and you're walking around in normal society, quote unquote, normal society, whatever that is. And you're just, you know, a regular person. You're growing to be a priest or you're just living your life, whatever. It's like, oh, there's Bill, the neighbor. What a nice neighbor he is. And then in the back, you're part of this secret clandestine group and you're going basically fulfilling a worldwide promise of overtaking the world and implementing a Luciferian, new world. I mean, is that what it was like?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I had a normal job. And this is what people need to understand. Most of these people, whether they're quote unquote good witches or Satanists, they don't advertise it. I mean, I never walked around wearing black or a pentagram or black eyeshadow on my eyes. You know, I looked like a normal guy. I mean, I looked kind of like a hippie, but you know, there were a lot of those running around in the '70s, and that was it. You know, I had a beard, I had slightly long hair, and that was it. And, you know, we didn't advertise it because we got thrown out of a couple of apartments we were renting because people found out we were witches. I mean, you couldn't get away with that now, but this was the 70s. So it was, yeah, we were under, you know, because, you know, the witches have a kind of Bible. It's called the Book of Shadows. And in that book, it says, you know, if people even say, oh, are you a witch? You're supposed to deny it and say 'tis evil to speak of such things. So, you know, we were kind of instructed back then because, you know, as witches, we look back to the Salem witch trials and the Inquisition and all of that as, you know, okay, don't let your freak flag fly, so to speak. And so we kept it under the surface. That's no longer the case, but that's how it was back then. And yes, it was, we did understand, like, let me just give you an example, which will probably, you know, set your hair on fire, but the head druid of North America, okay, he told me that, and this was in 1973, he told me that there was a prophecy among the druids of both America and England that when a queen of England would come to become the queen with a pagan name, that her firstborn son would be the Messiah that would rule the world. Now understand, 10 years later, Prince Charles married Diana. Now Diana is the premier name of the goddess.
Pagan name.
And she's the first, as far as I know, she's the first sovereign of England, at least, you know, woman, to have, well, no, I guess because Victoria's not in the Bible either, but, you know, we had William and Mary, and Elizabeth, of course, is in the Bible. But anyway, so here is this woman who married the Prince of Wales, and then they had, and so when this whole thing happened, and they, of course, they had their first child was Prince William, who's now an adult, you know, we thought, well, maybe he's going to be like the Antichrist. And we were told all this back in the 70s when we had no idea. I mean, Diana was like probably 10 years old at that time. So
now let me interject before you finish. I talked to David Icke. I met David Icke personally. We spent quite a bit of time talking, and he told me, see, what we're getting into, wow, we're, I don't know. I don't know if we should be going into this stuff. Anyway, screw it. All right, let's just talk. All right, so I'm talking to David Icke, and he's telling me about the people he's working with that knew Diana, that she was raised from a child. She was involved with rituals, that she was raised from a child to come into the bloodline of the Windsors there, to have children, to be the childbearer, because they needed her, and that she was raised from a child of that position to be that, almost a broodmare for that situation, and to...
She had more, quote-unquote, royal blood than Charles did. That much I do know. It, what you're saying could very well be true. I don't know.
I'm just telling what he told me, and
yeah,
he,
sure.
You know, I mean, we're talking about far out things, but I mean, all this is far out. I mean, this is so outside of our normal realm of looking at things, but this is what our ignorance of this, it's really not even our ignorance of it, because it really doesn't matter if we know about it or not. What matters to me, what I see, is if we accept it or not. And what I see is that we accept it without even realizing it. So then our ignorance hurts us. So it doesn't matter if we know about this or don't, as long as we don't accept it and we stick to our convictions. But we're not sticking to our convictions.
Well, it's like I heard a preacher say years ago, I'm sorry, is that on your line or my line? I hear this like sound like mosquitoes.
I don't know. Who
Hello?
Knows? I'm here. Go ahead.
Okay, good. You know, it's like most Christians especially want to think they live in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, and we don't.
No, we don't. Well, we don't. You know why we don't? And see, that's our thing. We look at outside things and we blame, oh, look at this terrible thing is coming. It's terrible because we've let it be terrible. We have the power. Not them. They're not, this, they're not taking over our dominion. We're giving them our dominion. Anyway, stay tuned. More with William Snowblin on the other side, withoneaccord.org. You're listening to The Power Hour.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rentz.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rentz.com.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food storage I love to eat. Yum!
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, it's Catherine from the Power Hour. If you are one of the many millions of people who have difficulty falling asleep, staying asleep, or having unrestful sleep throughout the night, REM sleep could be the solution you've been searching for. If you are like me and are afraid of the dangerous side effects from prescription sleep aids, REM sleep is an all-natural alternative that contains ingredients research has shown to help improve and enhance better sleep. REM sleep will get you the deep sleep you need to feel your best and will ensure you wake up feeling energized. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.
Think about for a second, and we're going to get into Halloween with William. I've got to talk about the Power Mall. Thepowermall.com is our website. Fantastic products. Look, you can go buy from Amazon, who has a secret plan. They've used Wall Street, thrown all responsibility, business responsibility, onto the taxpayers and to Wall Street so that they don't have to compete with mom and pop shops for how many years. They didn't have to make a dollar, so that then they could take it over and destroy it. You can buy our stuff from Amazon, or you can buy it from the good guys. It's your choice. See, this is where ignorance doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter if you're ignorant of that or not. It matters your choices. Buy from the good guys. Support us. We are working on expanding. We think the show has developed. We think, basically, I've gotten to a point where we want to move forward. And the show needs to move forward. This is a very unique show and a very important show. It's not, not every day you're going to hear Ty Bollinger and then William Snowblin back to back. What other show are you going to hear that? And that we need your help. Please consider all the money you would spend on Halloween candy. Please take it and send it and make a donation to the Power Hour. Make a donation to the Power Hour so we can expand, so we can bring this message out. Give something else to the children. Give them like there'll be the one creepy house that gives candy corn, cheap candy corn or something, or gives pennies. Who knows? I don't know. Whatever. There's just an idea, a thought. We need your support. You need to support us because we're driven by you. This is independent media, independent thought, and you are part of an important, important community. Do you see these oases in a world of delusion, in a world of trouble? This show, you, Power Hour Nation, have become an oasis and a light in a world of shadows. Do you see that? I hope you do. ThePowerMall.com, all the great products. Thank you so much for your support, for your purchases. You've always been there for us through a lot of problems, through a lot of growing pains, what have you. And I thank you personally, and you're welcome back to you, because I know that you say thank you to us also. So you're welcome back. And there's a lot of specials going on. Give Jay a call, 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829. Thank you. All right, back to William. All right, we've gone all over the place with this interview, and I think, to me, it's been terribly interesting. I hope the audience feels that way. But, okay, let's get into Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
What is so bad about Halloween? I want to know Halloween from a Satanist perspective. What is Halloween from a Satanist perspective? And then what if I'm just a Christian and I'm just dressing my child up like a little lamb and going house to house and ask begging for candy, what's wrong with that? So those two things.
Well, you know, we're told we're not supposed to sup with the table of devils or drink from the chalice of devils. Paul tells us that. And the problem is that Halloween is and has been for thousands of years a satanic holiday. I mean, you know, it just only become commercialized in the last century or century and a half, maybe. And, you know, that's the other thing is, which is more shocking, perhaps, is that on this night, Halloween night, all across the world, young children or teenagers are being sacrificed to the devil.
Oh, my God.
And they do this. Okay, I need to explain this, because the devil has no power of his own. Okay, he's like a little yappy dog. But because remember what Yahushua said, he said in Matthew 28, all power on heaven and earth is given unto me. Therefore, how much power does the evil one have? None.
Zero.
So the only power he has is what he can deceive people into giving him, either through their worship. Because let me tell you, if you worship a being, you know, other than God, you are giving that, they're like all these different things. I remember when I was a witch, I used to have this statue of Pan. You know, not Peter Pan, but Pan, this goat-footed deity. And I would worship it, you know, along with, I had also a statue of the goddess, because that's the witch thing. They have a goddess and a horned god. And anyway, by doing that, you're giving energy to that entity. And behind all of these different deities, whether it's, you know, like Allah or you know, Brahma or whatever, behind all these different false gods, they're masks for the evil one. And he's more than happy to take our energy. But the thing he loves best is blood sacrifice. And you would not believe...
Hold on, pause right there. Why?
Well, you know, Leviticus tells us the life is in the blood.
Yes.
That's kind of like the one Bible verse that vampires believe in. And it's even quoted in the novel Dracula. And, you know, and it's true. And so they believe that when you kill someone, especially someone young, and especially someone who's a virgin, you release all of this evil energy into the world that the devil can feed on. Now, I'm not saying this is true. I'm just saying this is what they believe.
So this, you know, hold on. Wait, but pause again. Again, I apologize, Bill, but my God. Okay, so you being part of that group, so when there was a sacrifice, you believe that that gave your group and your agenda and you personally more energy, more power, what?
Well, yeah, and fortunately, I never got high enough to be a part of a group, the level of Satanism that was doing human sacrifice. But we were using sex magic. I'm ashamed to say this, but I did also do some sacrifices of small animals, like, you know, guinea pigs and stuff like that, at the worst end of things. You know, because I believe that by doing that, we were raising energy. Just like we believe that by doing, you know, sexual rituals, we were raising energy. And, yeah, all of this stuff hangs together. It's all the same thing, you know. And, yeah, that's
so, of course, all right, back to Halloween. Go ahead. If you want to finish,
so
but back
anyway,
to Halloween.
Here's my point. All of this dark energy is being released, you know, on that night. You know, all over the world. I mean, it's not just an American thing. It's not just a Northern European thing. It's all over the world. It's called different things in different parts of the world. But it you know, and so because of that, it's a very toxic spiritual atmosphere. And for you to let your child, even if you're with them, go out and, you know, go door to door and all this stuff. I mean, you know, it's kind of like you're walking out into the lion's den. And I, for one, would not do it. I know you sound like you're being a grump or whatever, but, you know, it says we're not to fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And, you know, on the other hand, you know, Paul talks about whatever things are lovely, you know, in Philippians, whatever things are beautiful, whatever things are true, whatever things are holy, think on these things. And here's the other problem. Halloween has gotten a whole lot worse because our whole culture has gotten a whole lot worse. You know, I mean, when I was a kid, it was all about dressing up as a clown or a fairy if you were a girl or a little princess or something like that. Well, now, you know, I mean, I don't really follow this stuff, but I mean, kids are dressing up as zombies or Freddy Krueger or, you know, all kinds of bizarre
yes.
stuff. Plus, of course, the whole superhero, which is a little more benign. But still, it's all, you know, scary stuff, and you're exposing them to this kind of toxic spiritual energy when you could be keeping them. See, if you know, I would say, you know, have a church service, you know, and pray and fast for your community.
And, now, I see, you know, here where we live, that a lot of the local churches, not necessarily on Halloween, but the weekend before, whatever, they'll have like a mm-hmm. they'll call it a harvest party or a, you know, the, you know, it's basically a substitute for Halloween. Hey, don't go out trick or treating. Come to the church. You know, kids can dress up with nice things if they want, nothing crazy. And we'll play games and we'll, you know, drink apple cider or something. I think that's mm-hmm. such a better alternative.
Well, yeah, and of course, the Bible has a harvest feast, which we're coming up upon. It's the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Sukkot. There's nothing wrong with that, just like there's nothing wrong with Thanksgiving. You know, that's fine. But the problem is Halloween, at least within most of my life, has been festooned with all of this dark stuff. I mean, skeletons and witches and, you know, vampires, and it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And now you drive around neighborhoods, you know, and you see people having gravestones in their yards and, you know, cobwebs and ghosts and things. And all this stuff, it's a celebration of death. It's not a celebration of life. And why immerse yourself in that kind of a thing, and especially why immerse your young children who are spiritually, you know, vulnerable? Because here's the thing, and in my book, I don't know which one, I think it was Romancing Death, I talk about the whole idea of fear and how, you know, the whole idea of scaring little children, these haunted houses that some communities put on, you know, even churches put them on, where kids are taken into this fake haunted house and people scare them and make them. I mean, I remember going through this myself. I was in the Scouts and they did it, you know, where they take you through this place and you're blindfolded and you stick your hand in a cold macaroni and they tell you, oh, this is guts from a dead person or something. You know, why do people do this stuff? Because if you open up a child, especially to fear, I mean, there's enough stuff in the world that's scary, okay, already just out there, you know, but why artificially gin up fear within a child? Because when you do that, you open up the child to the spirit of fear. And, you know, Paul says, well, you've not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that's why so many young people grow up today and they're fearful. Yeah, there's scary stuff out there in the environment. Certainly there is. But, you know, beyond that, I mean, you get into a whole thing about that, but I mean, part of it is that they've been exposed to this scary stuff. They go to scary movies, they watch scary TV shows, and it knocks open doorways within their
spiritual
souls.
Pathways, spiritual voids or vacuums or whatever, where now other things can kind of like you when you were a little child. Then later you're susceptible to other things. Let me ask you about the Halloween candy, because I think it was last time you were telling me that your group or people used to go down the aisles of the candy and pray over them. Explain
mm-hmm.
that to me.
Yeah. Well, again, you know,
explain
and
that.
Again, we thought we were doing something good. We would go down the candy aisles of the grocery stores, which are nowhere near as extensive as they are now. Now, I mean, they've got like half the grocery stores made up of Halloween candy. But anyway, we would go down the aisles and quote-unquote pray over the candy. and pray that the children that ate the candy would become open to the spirit of witchcraft, of Wicca, you know. And we thought we were doing a good thing. It wasn't like, we're doing evil things and corrupting children. Well, you know, that's the trouble. You know, people think this stuff is benign, but what if they're wrong? You know, and unfortunately, people take the candy home and either give it out to kids in a neighborhood or eat it themselves. And if they did what the Bible says and pray over their food, that'd be okay then. And I'm not endorsing eating a lot of candy because candy isn't really that healthy for you. But, you know, every now and then I've been known to eat a chocolate bar myself. But we pray over all of our food because you have no idea where this stuff has come from. You have no idea what, you know, it's not just during Halloween. It's all the time. But back then it was mainly during Halloween.
So, all right, let me ask you specifically. So tell me if I'm wrong here. On Halloween specifically, but now it's so prevalent. There's so many of you, meaning these Luciferians. There's so many Luciferians, witches, whatever. They are literally, on Halloween specifically, they are praying, they are working spells, they are sacrificing to bring evil presence and to bring people's minds and their souls and whatever in subjection to this big dark agenda. Is that accurate?
Some of them, yeah. The hardcore people, yes. Absolutely.
All right, you told me that also, I believe it was you, you said the linchpin of the curse on this country, because it's obvious that America's cursed. If you read Deuteronomy 28, you can see when we're blessed and you can see when we're cursed. Well, this is Israel. America represents Israel, ladies and gentlemen. The Doctrine and Covenants, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and dominion. You see how he's talking about dominion and how Satan's trying to take your dominion, your authority. He needs your imagination. Do you understand that now? You start to put those together and how important the Declaration of Independence is and the law. When you put all these things together and what they're pulling from you, they've cursed this country because of our willingness to partake in all this. So explain to me about, you told me the linchpin of the spiritual curse on this country is abortion and pedophilia. Explain that to me, please.
Well, yeah, because again, both of those things are about the destruction of innocence. You know, whether you're talking about, you know, child sex trafficking, which, of course, it just totally destroys a child for them to be used, you know, sexually, passed around, you know, or even sold or whatever it
All
might
right.
be.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's horrible, you know. And at the same time, the other component of it, and we did a whole newsletter on this, you know, you got the pedophilia and you got abortion, because with abortion, you're killing millions of babies. And it, you know, it talks about frequently in the Bible that the shedding of innocent blood brings a curse upon the land. And that's true whether it's an adult or a child or a child in the womb. And so you think about what the profound impact that has on any country, including ours, that permits this stuff, whether it's pedophilia or, you know, abortion. It's just not. It's a terrible thing. That's why we recommend anybody, and I mean, we almost every day we get people calling us because bizarre things are going on in their houses, and these people are Christians. And we say, well, have you prayed according to Deuteronomy to remit the sin of the shedding of innocent blood over your land?
Wow.
And most people are clueless about that.
Wow.
They might know, okay, I need to bless my house.
Wow.
I need to, you know, like, you know, make sure there's nothing evil in the house, blah, blah, blah. That's fine. But they don't think about the land. And I explain to people, listen, you could even, you know, let's say you're living in Missouri and maybe nothing really, you know, obvious has happened. But if you go back a couple of centuries, you know, Indians were being killed by, you know, U.S. cavalry or whatever. And a lot of that was murder and savagery. And it's violating the Bible because the Bible says don't remove landmarks. And if you steal land from somebody, that's a curse too, right out of the book of Deuteronomy. Plus murdering people,
wow.
You know, men, women, and children is a curse. So, you know, and virtually everywhere in America, that's going to be the case. And so you need, and we have a prayer on our website, withoneaccord.org. We have all sorts of spiritual warfare prayers that you can download. They're like PDF files, you know, and you can download them and you can pray them over your house. And you'd be amazed how many people who have had, like, quote-unquote haunted houses or illness or whatever it might be, and they prayed, you know, to bless the house, but then they also pray to remit the sin of the shedding of innocent blood. And it's right out of the book of Deuteronomy. And it really is powerful.
Wow.
Because the blood of in the Torah, the Deuteronomy, it talks about, you know, shedding the blood of a bull to remit the sin. Well, we know from the book of Hebrews that the blood of Yeshua is so much more powerful than the blood of a goat or whatever, you know, bull. So it's an amazing tool. And we advocate that everybody do it, you know, but especially if you're having spiritual warfare stuff going on in your home. So between the fact that, see, getting back to the child trafficking and pedophilia thing, you know, these people believe, these evildoers, because let's face it, I hate to say this, but most of the high-level people in government who are protecting these individuals, you know, they believe that if you molest a child, it's going to keep them from ever accepting Christ, because they're going to be so messed up and so angry and so frightened and, you know, all this stuff. I mean, unless you've been through this stuff, you have no idea what it's like. And so the idea is we're destroying innocence. We're making it very difficult, if not impossible, for this young person to come to Christ. And of course, as you may know, a lot of girls who are victims of this, you know, if they survive it, they grew up, and a lot of them, unfortunately, end up in the sex, you know, like being a prostitute or something like that. Not all of them by any means, but some of them do, because they're used to thinking at a deep level, my body is just a sex tool. And it's a terrible thing, a horrible thing. But, you know, again, this can be healed by the power of the cross. But, and of course, we prayed for literally thousands of women and a few men too, but you know, I think a lot of men are unwilling to come forward about this stuff because they're you know, they don't think it's macho to admit that they've been, you know, molested as a child. I think that's changing now, but we've seen them get set free by the power of Christ. But of course, you don't hear about that in the therapeutic community very much.
All right, Bill, we have about 5 minutes, and this has been an electric interview. It's been all over the place, and I think hopefully to our benefit, we've seen different perspectives. Okay, so somebody's listening to you. Somebody, they see nothing wrong. I mean, I don't even know how to pose this because I'm not trying to browbeat people or what have you. Mm-hmm. What am I trying to ask here? I'm trying to say that, okay, let me put it this way. This whole battle or whole thing that we're dealing with, whether it's political, legal, whatever, it's all of this is spiritual in our acceptance of it, our conviction of it. And we've lost the conviction and we start accepting the ways, different ways. I mean, that's obvious. We can't mm-hmm. even keep the decor. We can't even keep the Bill of Rights and the law. We can't even let our children learn about God in school. They teach them, secular humanism and that there is no God and all. I mean, it's just, when I listen to you personally, it just makes me, I don't want any part of Halloween. I don't want any part. It starts to disgust me when I see this great yard where people dress up like it's some out of a Halloween movie, out of Freddy Krueger movie or what. See, that starts to disgust me. I don't want any part of death. And cause that's really what this is about, life or death.
Yes,
your thoughts, last 2-3 minutes, all your thoughts.
Well, yeah, I mean, you said it very well. And all I can say is that it's like, you know, Moses said in the Torah, you know, I've set before you the path of life and the path of death, and you can choose. And of course, Halloween is just, you know, yeah, it's got fun stuff, quote unquote, but it's saturated in the idea of death and graveyards and ghosts and goblins and all this stuff. You know, and why would you let your child be a part of it? And you've got to realize the spiritual world is real. And it is something that can impact your family just as much as a disease or anything more tangible, more physical. I mean, remember, germs are invisible. We can't see them.
Ooh,
and in the same way, demons are invisible and we can't see them, but that doesn't mean they don't affect us.
Wow.
It's just you can't put demons under a microscope and see them.
Wow. That is powerful, what you just said. That is extremely powerful. Do you see, let me ask you this, last comment, like a minute and a half. Russ, one of Russ's books, he talks about a satanic army, that there's basically mind controlled or satanic army. They're just ready for the word to go. Somebody snapped their fingers and basically a war on all the world and chaos throughout the world to bring forth a Luciferian, era, millennium or something. Do you know anything about that? Does that ring a bell?
Well, that wasn't necessarily something that was going on when I was involved in this. But you got to remember, I got out of it in 1980, in the early 80s. That's what they like. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. That's like I'm not saying it's a fantasy because it could be true. But, that's what they certainly are working toward, yes.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean.
We need to be serious. We need to be prayer warriors, intercessors on our level, because the power that we possess is so much greater than the power that the enemy possesses. Like, it says, one person can put 10,000 to flight.
What about public school? Because I'm just over my.
I would never, 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 never. I would never put a child in public school.
Why?
Because it's godless.
What more do you need to say? What else is there to say about it?
Yes.
Okay.
Don't mean to be so brief, but there you go.
Well, there's the song. Oh, my gosh. Bill, you've certainly inspired our audience. Your conviction, your perspective. We thank God that, not that you went through all those things, but that you came through all those things so that you can give us a little, peek behind the curtain and we see the reality of all these things. Thank you so much for coming on. At least twice a year, you need to come on and kind of just tell us what you're doing
and
what's going on.
Yes,
God bless you.
That would be great. Okay, you too. Shalom.
Shalom. God bless. WithOneAccord.org is his website. Check that out, ladies and gentlemen. I hope this empowers you. Remember, you are given dominion, ladies and gentlemen. You have power. The greatest asset of America is accomplishments, the Declaration of Independence, that by law we protect that dominion in our connection to our Creator. This is the law. Our children are not taught it. That scripture that Ty said earlier, my people perish for lack of knowledge, is because you've forgotten my law, I will forget your children. This is the law, the Declaration of Independence. Your dominion. God bless you. See you next week.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominate.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using Carnivora because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking Carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora.